My soul now praise your maker. That's what we're going to be taking a look at today, as this is the first live broadcast in September, September the 2nd, in the year of our Lord 2014, because yesterday I came to the studio. I mean, Labor Day, isn't that the day you labor? I'm going to change it, Mark, to Unlabor Day.
Well, Tom, we had a holiday yesterday.
Oh, yes, you had a holiday yesterday. That's wonderful. What did you do?
You know, I just did some sorting and straightening up at home. Went over and had dinner with my father-in-law.
Oh, that's
my
nice.
My wife and I.
Sure. Yeah, I went over to my daughter's house. My son was there and all the family, and so we had great sandwiches.
Yes.
Yeah, I always like that. And then got together pretty good. Had a fun time. Yesterday was a holiday, and I don't understand why today is, because it's our wedding anniversary today.
Oh, well, congratulations. How many years?
22. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. 47.
47.
Yeah, 47 years with Mary, and it's really, Louise, and it's really quite an experience.
Well, be sure to bear my congratulations to Louise.
Yeah, I've got to stop at the grocery store.
She is quite a saint.
You got to give her a, you know, box of chocolates or something.
Yes.
That I like, so we'll see what happens. No, she got a new camera.
Oh, huh?
Yeah, and so she takes, she doesn't take that many, about 400 pictures a week. Okay, so.
Got to have those grandkids in film.
Yeah, a lot of them. My soul now praise your maker. Who wrote it?
You're asking me?
No, I'm asking the other person in the room here.
Okay, the text was by Johann Ramon.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know him. His pen name was Johannes Polander and was a German pastor, a theologian, teacher, humanist, reformer, and he was quite a Lutheran leader. And
lived in the 15th and 16th century, 1487 to 1541.
1541. When did Luther die? 1546. Yeah, so Luther lived five more years than he did. So he was there during, and yet you don't remember him that much,
no,
do you? No. But there were a lot of reformers at that point. He became pastor of the Altstadt Church in 1525 in Königsberg, which was capital of the Duchy of Prussia. And so it was kind of a life under a lot of persecution because, of course, the Lutherans weren't well appreciated at that time. But so he wrote this hymn, My Soul Now Praise Your Maker. It's only got four verses, but it's got like
long ones,
80 lines each verse. So if you would be so kind as to read the first stanza.
Certainly. My soul now praise your maker. Let all within me bless his name, who makes you full partaker of mercies more than you dare claim. Forget him not, whose meekness still bears with all your sin, who heals your every weakness, renews your life within, whose grace and care are endless, and saved you through the past, who leaves no sufferer friendless, but rights the wrong at last.
Now, obviously, he wrote this in the German, and it's one of my favorite translators, Catherine Winkworth. She translates a lot of these hymns. Unfortunately, she's somewhat reformed, so when you get into the sacraments, you got to be a little careful of how she's translating it. But by and large, what I always find fascinating is how, I'm sure the German rhymed, but then she also gets the English
rhyme. That's right. Yeah, it takes some work.
Like, my soul now praise your maker who makes you full partaker. And so there's a lot of, even the next one, let all within me bless his name of mercies more than you dare claim. So it takes quite a mind to think of. And I don't know if she had a book on synonyms. I always like looking them up, or a thesaurus.
Thesaurus.
Yeah, to see if I can get a better word. So, my soul now praise your maker. So not the body, just the soul?
We praise him body and soul.
That's
right.
We
praise him with our whole being.
Well, actually, it depends how you define the word soul.
Mm-hmm.
you do have that idea that, you know, body and soul or body and spirit. But I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to use the word soul, and you'll understand what I mean. How many souls do you have in your congregation?
Over 200.
And see, right away, you knew what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about how many spirits you have, but actually persons.
Right.
So sometimes the word soul refers to the whole person. And that's what I think he mean, or she would mean here in her translation. My soul now prays your maker. Let all within me bless his name, who makes you full partaker of mercies more than you dare claim. Now, what does that mean?
Well, it's like those all things that come with our redemption. I mean, we're precious. We've been washed with the holy, precious blood of Christ. And, of course, that comes with many blessings, more than we can even imagine, many, many that we're not even cognizant of.
What I find, and from a law gospel point of view, she says, who makes you full partaker, not who gives you the power to become full partaker.
Right. That's right. We are by baptism.
Yes. And so it's a passive. He makes us to be full partakers. We don't do anything to become a full partaker. And you really hit it on the head there with baptism. Of mercies more than you dare claim, forget him not, whose meekness still bears with all your sin. So you're trying to talk to a child about this. How would you define the word meekness? How does God's meekness still bears with all our sin? What would be a synonym for meekness, do you think?
Let's see. Forget him not, whose meekness still bears with all your sin. Well, his lowliness,
humility.
His humility. I don't know if that's quite it, but yeah.
Because how is God still humble? I find it interesting when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. He has a verse where he says, what I say is what the Father says, and what I do is what the Father does. And it suddenly struck me, therefore, that we ought to consider the Father also as washing our feet.
Sure.
And he does so by sending his only begotten Son into the world to become incarnate, to die on the sins, to die for our sins. And meekness, therefore, means that God is so high above us, but he comes down to our level. That he becomes one of us.
That's right.
And that's how he still bears with all your sin, who heals you every weakness. Notice it doesn't say who heals your every illness. There's no promise in the Bible that your illness this side of heaven will be healed. But it certainly will be in the afterlife.
Right.
You won't have any illness. Renews your life within. Within what? What does that within mean? To renew your life within.
Our old Adam is of course drowned in our baptism.
And we have the new man.
Right.
And so we are renewed. You know, there's a word we use when we're going out to play sports. We're going to do recreation.
Recreation.
But if you divide that word, it also can be understood as a recreation. And that's when I think of the word renew. He's recreating us into what Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, that
saints.
That image is begun to be restored in our baptism.
Yeah, I would say it's totally restored.
No, it's not totally restored until finally, really, the last day, wouldn't you say?
Well, that's true because of
it's
the old Adam.
It's begun to be restored.
Yeah.
We still have to wrestle with that old Adam our whole lives
long. That's correct, from that point of view. Whose grace and care are endless and saved you through the past. What's that mean?
Well, all those past times, you know, I mean, he's brought us thus far, and all those past troubles are behind us, and he has. He's been faithful throughout all of our life.
So what we're talking about is a God who gives us promises, and those promises are always true. They were true in the past. They're going to be true in the future. And the last part, of course, says, who leaves no sufferer friendless, but rights the wronged at last. Now, the at last, I think, has to be referring to Judgment Day.
Right.
Because a lot of times we're not right, our rights are not wronged here on earth sometimes. because of the suffering and the persecution we undergo. By the way, if you would like to phone us on any of this, on this hymn, or any thoughts about it, in the St. Louis area, the number is 821-0850, and toll-free anywhere in North America,
1-800-730-2727.
Stanza 2. He offers all his treasure of justice, truth, and righteousness, his love beyond all measure, his yearning pity over distress, nor treats us as we merit, but sets his anger by. The poor and contrite spirit finds his compassion nigh, and high as heaven above us, as dawn from close of days, so far, since he has loved us, he puts our sins away. Now, what's really interesting about Lutheran hymnody, it really is quite long gospel-oriented. He offers all his treasure of justice, truth, and righteousness. Now, I've often said that the God of every other religion is a God of justice. He gives you what you deserve. So I really don't want that kind of justice. So what kind of justice is this talking about?
His justice.
Yes, and
Not what the world gives, but his perfect justice.
Yes, in fact, it answers this question. How can God just forgive your sins?
Because he puts his son in the balance, and that offsets all of our sins.
And
so
that is
justice.
That's really well
it's
said.
It's justice that has been meted out in him.
Exactly. So when we talk about God's justice, unlike the God of the law, which is every other religion in the world, that means you get what you deserve. But the God of our justice is one who justly takes care of our sins by having his son pay for them.
Fulfills
and that's why he has the right to forgive us.
Right.
And being God, he can do so. So going on there, his love beyond all measure, his yearning pity over distress, nor treats us as we merit. Now, what does that mean, that we don't get treated as we merit?
No, of course not. If we got treated as we merit, we'd be lost. We'd be damned.
Because merit means to
get what you deserve.
Yes, exactly. So what's the opposite of merit?
Grace.
Yes, yes. Grace is giving you something you don't deserve. And we can even bring in the word mercy, as I've done many a time. Being merciful means you don't get what you merit. In other words, eternal damnation. You don't get that because he's merciful. And being gracious means he gives you what you do what you do not merit, which is the forgiveness of sins. So this is law and gospel, obviously here, because he doesn't treat us as we merit. In fact, a lot of times, I don't think parents treat their children as they merit, do they?
No, you're right.
Give an example of what you mean by that.
We overlook a lot, parents
yes.
do. And love covers a multitude of sins.
Exactly.
And, you're just very, very forgiving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think we would have hit 47 years if Louise gave me what I merited.
Oh, boy.
Well, we won't go into that right now. going on. But sets his anger by. And that is really the fulfillment of the previous part, that he's not giving us what we merit.
Because the son got the full brunt of his anger on the cross.
That's right. That's right.
For us, in our place.
Remember the word he said from the cross that proves that?
My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
That's right. That's right. And I always say, my Bible has an answer to that. And I look down there and God says, I'm forsaking you because you have the sins of Tom Baker on your shoulders.
Yeah. The sins of the whole world.
Yeah. The poor and contrite spirit finds his compassion nigh. Now, I don't think most children would understand the word nigh.
Near.
Yeah. It's just another word for
rhymes.
Yeah, that's why she used it.
Sure.
She had to have an eye because it rhymes, and high as heaven above us. And so sometimes you go back to the old King James, you know, to get the right rhyme. And high as heaven above us, as dawn from close of day, so far since he loved us, he puts our sins away. Okay, what analogy is?
Well, that's like it's further than the east is from the west.
Well said.
As high as heaven above us, you know, that's how far he has placed our sins away. You know, he remembers our sins no more.
Right. And, of course, people will wonder, what do you mean he remembers your sin no more? I thought he's omniscient. How can he forget anything? Well, the word remember doesn't mean remember. It means, and I use this example many a time, two kids are fighting and the one gets hit and the other says, I'm going to remember that. It means he's going to get even. So if God remembers your sins, he gets even with you. If he forgets your sins, he puts his sins on his son. So the word remember doesn't have anything to do with a memory there. It's an actual action. When God remembered his people, he blessed them. When he forgets his people, he, what's the opposite of bless?
Curses them.
Yeah, curses them. In fact, those two words are found in Matthew 25. The sheep are blessed. The goats are
cursed.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where we get that. Scripture interprets scripture. Okay, stanza three, please.
For as a tender father has pity on his children here, God in his arms will gather all who are his in childlike fear. He knows how frail our powers, who but from dust are made. We flourish like the flowers, and even so we fade. The wind but through them passes, and all their bloom is o'er. We wither like the grasses. Our place knows us no more.
Yeah. Fortunately, we don't have an amen after that verse.
No kidding. Yeah, that's kind of ends on a sad note, you know.
Well, I mean, no, it's law. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, which is sad.
Yes.
You're correct on that.
You know, as the grass withers and the flower fades.
Yes.
Where our life is like a mist.
Exactly. So let's kind of go through this. For as a tender father has pity on his children here. We already talked about that a little bit when I asked you about parents don't give what their children always merit, that they sometimes, you know, overlook. But God in his arms will gather. Now, the little child will say, well, wait a minute. God doesn't have arms. He's a spirit. So how would you explain that?
Well, that's anthropomorphism. That's what I tell that young
man. Oh, yeah, that's very good.
We talk about God as having his eyes are always upon us. He gathers us up in his arms. I use that picture in baptism. He enfolds us in his saving, loving arms.
Guess what? It's the gospel for this Sunday, Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the artistic rendering of that a lot of times?
Oh, what, like little lamb?
Well, no, Jesus holding the children.
Jesus holding little children.
You know, they're on his lap and this sort
yes,
of thing.
Yes, of course.
You know, he speaks that way. And unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so this is really, I think, the picture that Johann Grauman is trying to get across here, that God is like Jesus holding little children in his arms. He knows how frail our powers, who but from dust are made. We flourish like the flowers, even so we fade. Yeah, you know, life is really short.
It is. It really is. I can't, you know, when I think 35 years already that I've been out in the ministry.
35 years.
It just flew. Where did it go?
Yeah.
You know? I'm 60 years old now.
We won't bring up anniversaries, you know. 47 years. Yeah, to me, it feels like 20.
It just flies.
Luis says it feels like
and
80.
And I think it starts when you're raising kids, you know, you get busy and the years just go.
And all of a sudden, they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, how quickly. The wind but through them passes, and all their bloom is o'er. We wither like the grasses, our place knows us no more. You know, how many times people try to make sure they're going to have a reputation left.
Yeah.
And why? Even once you're gone, you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who cares what your reputation is back there?
Yeah, you go out to a cemetery, and I always, when I go to visit a cemetery, I feel so insignificant.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, all these people, you know, countless stories could be said about them.
And but, there's nothing there.
No.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some people, because they were famous or such.
Stone's a little bit bigger than the other, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get some gospel here.
Okay, and then verse stanza 4. His grace remains forever, and children's children yet shall prove that God forsakes them never. Who in true fear shall seek his love, in heaven is fixed, his dwelling. His rule is over all. O hosts with might excelling, with praise before him fall. Praise him forever reigning, all you who hear his word. Our life and all sustaining, my soul, O praise the Lord. So you start off with great gospel. His grace remains forever. And children's children yet shall prove that God forsakes them never, who in true fear shall seek his love. What does that mean, children's children?
Well, you know, that's that promise unto countless thousands of generations that love me and keep my commandments.
That's right.
You know, I mean,
you have the whole understanding of the way parents are, often the way children are. And therefore, well, we're living in an age, though, that as soon as they sometimes send them off to college, they start losing their faith because of the false teachers in college.
Oh, you really have to work with those kids. You really have to, you know, talk with them. It's got to be interfacing with them about their faith. Their whole childhood long. Regular worship, devotions. But you just talk to the kids. You talk to the kids and tell them why these things are important, why these things are precious. And you talk about the pitfalls that we can fall into if we don't have God guiding us through his word.
Yeah, and so parents need to give the ammunition to their children.
Absolutely.
Answers in Genesis, for example, has a wonderful magazine that is easily can be used for children. And so if they would get a subscription to that, they would be able to get more knowledge about what they're going to be hearing in college, pro-evolution, and they're going to see how ridiculous it is.
And what even confirmation, when I have my confirmation class, I talk to my kids about, well, you know, what makes for a good spouse?
Yeah, right.
Why is it important that you baptize your kids as soon as possible and not just take that lightly and, oh, you know, things like that. You talk about the things that are really, really important to those kids. And I pray that it makes an impression on them.
That's right. Yeah, so many times a person will talk about their Sunday school teacher that they got a real help from. Going back to the hymn, O hosts with... might excelling with praise before him fall, praise him forever reigning, all you who hear his, and that's interesting what comes next, all you who hear his word, our life and all sustaining, my soul, oh, praise the Lord. So how do we feed our children? By giving them the
word.
That's
the,
right.
The bread of life.
Yeah, because that becomes the means of grace. The means of grace is that which helps a person come to an understanding of what is true. And it seems like you're going to be having means of grace worship services this weekend.
Sure are, of course. Our services are at 5 o'clock Saturday evening. 5 o'clock Saturday evening. Well-attended service. Pretty well-attended for Saturdays. And then Sunday morning at 9 a.m., followed by Bible class and Sunday school. So join us at Prince of Peace. We're just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection. 8646 New Sappington Road, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church of Crestwood. We'd love to have you. We're somewhat small, but a very friendly congregation.
What's your Bible study on Sundays?
Now that I've got to decide that because we just completed our Bible study for the last few weeks, and we're going to go on something new.
Okay, so That's Pastor Mark Smith. Appreciate you being with me, and God willing, we'll be back next week to take a look at another hymn. These are hymns that are selected for that particular Sunday based on the readings. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing some of the readings for this coming Sunday, since Labor Day we're off. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.